This is Guildcast, episode 31 for June 3rd, 2006. Welcome back to Guildcast, everyone. I'm Lady Sinea, and I'll be your host for this episode. I don't know what Sean was thinking, leaving me in charge here this week.
Haven't really thought that through yet, as you can tell.
Yeah, I figure you'd have to be pretty crazy to leave me here unsupervised with a microphone and free rein to say whatever I like.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But in any case, you're stuck with just me this week, and...
If it is, I don't see myself being able to continue as a loyal Guildcast follower.
Quiet you. No one asked you. Well, let's get this show started now, shall we?
Crazy out there.
I met a few people in-game here in the past couple of weeks who I promised that I'd mention. There's Hardogram Bam... X Taylor X, who actually I played with Taylor. He helped me and some friends kill Glint, and that was fun. And also there is a guild called Tunnel Rats, which is led by a fellow named the MM of MMs, and he said that they're recruiting, though I have no idea what kind of guild they are. And this is probably the last time that I'll mention a guild here on the show, since Sean said that he's not going to be doing that anymore. I probably won't either. Unless we're talking about Guildcast Listeners United, of course, which obviously is a community that has direct relevance to this podcast. And I figure that we can make an exception for that one. I also got a few emails this week. One is from a fellow, I think his character name here is Dumb and Dumberer. He says, "Just recently, my friend taught me how to Griffin farm. Sean said that they nerfed Griffin farming, but that's not true." Yeah, I know, sometimes he says things that aren't always accurate. Like, the runes, he said that they changed it so that you can't lose runes when you salvage them out of your armor. But there is still a chance that you can, so that statement wasn't exactly true either.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
But we still love you anyway, Sean. This guy continues here, he says, "I get around 1.5k per run, which is around 20 minutes long. Recently, I just got a fiery dragon sword, 15 to 21, plus 16% damage if hexed. I was wondering what I should do with it, either to sell it at the trader for 98 gold or attempt to sell it to a trader." Oh, he means should I sell it to a merchant or to a player. Well, fiery dragon swords aren't really one of those in high demand items, but sometimes you can find buyers for them. And also how much it's worth is somewhat dependent on what the requirement is, so you might want to check that out too. He also says, "I've noticed in the episodes you keep saying that UW farming and something else that I forgot the name of are the best." He says here that he disagrees with that, and "I noticed that you and Sean don't talk about builds with tanks in them, and I want to know why. I personally am an enchantment tank. I found that this works very good. Is the barrage group the only good group farming UW?" And the other one. Since he's talking about barrage groups, I'm gonna bet that he's talking about tombs. But no, there's plenty of other places that you can farm too. Personally, I don't think that one in particular is the best. I do crop rotation. I don't over-farm any one area. I move around, farm different places, do some quests or missions in between, and then I go back to farming. But builds with tanks. I'm not really trying to be exclusive in what builds I talk about. I just discuss whatever it is that comes to mind. I have never really used my tank for solo farming either. Except I do use her for running up to the materials traders, the materials crafters, to craft vellum and damask and things like that for selling, or for my use. I needed damask for my monk's armor. I actually don't really like solo farming very much, because even though you get all the drops to yourself, it can get kind of lonely. If I am farming or questing solo, though, I'm usually also talking to my friends in guild chat or in whispers so that I don't get too bored. But really, I like farming groups better, even if it's just two-man in UW, because at least you have someone to talk to. As for clearing UW, I've not actually done that, and I probably will try it out sometime, but that's a lot of hours to devote to one area. But my tank, I really haven't used my tank for any farming lately, ever since they nerfed the gear trick, because I used to use her for stancing. I've got another email here from The Rave, and he gives a lot of good information here, commenting on some of the points that Sean and I touched on last week. But one thing is that he went pretty in-depth into the subject of the elite mission, The Deep. And I wasn't aware of this, but apparently the last alliance that used to control this mission, they wouldn't let anyone in. But the current alliance, the Crusaders, they ferry people in all the time. So cheers to them for that, and letting it be open to everyone else. So I'm going to read this part of this email from him, where he goes through the Deep in detail. So here it is. This is from Dave the Rave. The Deep is made up of 12 rooms. Each room has a different aspect that makes it difficult to get past. The aspects are generated by one particular enemy, and if you kill it, the aspect disappears. These aspect enemies have 3 health levels. If you get it down to each level, it will not take any more damage until it is knocked down. So here's what's in the rooms in my experiences. Room 0 is the warp room, where players warp into the first room. Aspect effect. Pulses every 30 seconds and causes exhaustion. Room 1 is split into 4 sections. Players reach the section using 4 different warps. The first warp is enabled only for the first 3 people who enter it. The second warp for the next 3 people, and so on. This means when forming a group, you need to plan ahead and make 3 separate subgroups. Each of the 4 sections has a different aspect. The first section has aspect of exposure. Players can't block or evade. The second section has aspect of surrender. Players are knocked down and hit. The third section has aspect of death. Players gain 20% less benefit from healing. Aspect of soothing. Players do not gain adrenaline. The doors to these rooms open either after the aspect is killed or players from the other rooms approach. What normally happens is the people in the third room wait for the others to finish and kill everything in room 2, then everyone helps them get through. Room 2 has a timer. If any enemies are alive when the timer runs out, they are all resurrected. It also has aspect of pain. Players have negative 2 health degeneration and suffer from a deep wound every 30 seconds. Room 3 has aspect of lethargy. Player movement is slowed by 50%. Also, to open the door to the next room, 4 people must stand on 4 pressure plates. Once it's opened, players only have 5 seconds to go through. Then the door closes and loads of enemies appear in room 3. Basically, 4 people have to sacrifice themselves, die near the gate, and get rebirthed onto the other side. There's no other way of doing it. You can't even shadow step through the gate. Room 4 has aspect of depletion. Every 30 seconds, the room pulses and causes health damage and energy drain. Room 5 has aspect of failure. Prevents players from using spells. So you can't do quite a lot. One of the major points is you can't resurrect in this room since it's a spell, so you have to be careful. The best thing to do is draw everything to the gate. Room 6 has aspect of shadows. No enchantment spells can be cast. This should be easy after room 5. The main problem is an absolutely huge centipede-like thing in the middle of the room, which will one-hit kill anyone. The good thing, though, is you can get past it without it noticing. Room 7 has aspect of scorpions. Enemies can randomly teleport players. Players are knocked down when teleported. This is the first of one of the really awful rooms. If you get within an aggro circle of an enemy, they will teleport you to them. You're not being teleported all the time, but it can be damn annoying when trying to cast. Room 8 has Aspect of Fear. Player speed is increased by 10%, and while moving, players take health damage. This is the furthest I've got, and it's really dang annoying. No running away. Fight or die. The rest is only what I have heard. Room 9 has Aspect of Decay. Players take damage when their energy reaches zero. Fine, you might think, but the worms in this room slow energy regeneration, and their attack drains energy. Room 10 has an unnamed aspect effect. Poison and bleeding cause an extra -2 health degeneration. The best bit is there are arrow turrets all down the room which poison and cause bleeding. Room 11 has an unnamed aspect effect. Players take damage every 3 seconds unless they are using a skill. Apparently, you just have to run down all the tunnels, killing everything as quick as possible. Room 12 has an unnamed aspect effect. Players suffer -8 health degeneration. So the -8 is bad enough, and then you also have to kill the final boss, Kanaxi. This guy is quite tough. He also has one mother of a self-healing spell, which is Nightmare Refuge. In a similar way, he has to be knocked down every now and then for damage to continue to be dealt. Apparently, he has to be knocked down about 10 times. The best bit is every time he's knocked down, 6 to 10 nightmare creatures spawn. So while you're killing them, he heals himself. Communication is a must while trying to defeat him, and you don't want to knock him down too early because it's pointless. So, why would you want to go through all of this? Firstly, it's great fun to do it, and it's really great to improve your teamwork. Secondly, when you kill the boss, there are some very, very nice rare green drops, apparently. There are also numerous deep jade chests, which normally contain very rare zodiac weapons. These weapon stats aren't anything amazing, but they do have cool-looking skins. So, thank you, Dave, for that report. I just might have to try that sometime. It's a messed up world, and that's a fact. You're lucky to leave with your soul intact. There have been a couple of updates this past week. Some of it is interesting, and some of it's kind of just mundane. But on Monday, May 29th, they fixed an exploit that was allowing parties to enter guild battles with more than 8 players, fixed a bug that was causing ghostly heroes in the unholy temples to refuse relics. And then, on Thursday, June 1, there's a whole bunch of changes. Decreased the health penalty on attribute-boosting major runes from 50 to 35. Existing runes are unaffected. This means that on major runes, your health penalty is only going to be 35 points instead of 50. So I would suggest, since major runes don't cost very much, if you have any on your armor, just buy another one and use it on your armor and overlap it over the your old major rune so that you have just that few extra points of health. Next is improved chat in alliance battles so that players can see party messages from all members of their team. Updated the Zukin Corridor outpost so that it shows who currently has the favor of the gods. Added a Zunlai agent to Zos Shivro's channel. Yeah, we knew that had to have been just been an oversight. Moved the Zunlai agent in Jade Quarry Luxon to a more accessible location. That's good. Removed the thief from the Imperial Isle guild battle. Updated the inventory of the weaponsmith in Matu Keep. Updated art on the following creatures: Naga Wizard, Naga Raincaller, Naga Spellblade, Naga Witch, Naga Bone Collector, and Naga Sibyl. Fixed bugs and made improvements to the following quests: Stolen Eggs. There's just a bunch of quests here listed. I'm not going to read them all. Fixed bugs in the following missions and explorable areas: Silent Surf and Riverside Province. Fixed a bug that occasionally caused quest markers and arrows to update incorrectly. fixed some incorrect cinematic voiceovers. Did they get new voices? Fixed a bug that allowed players to drop items inadvertently while cinematics were playing. Fixed a bug that caused some players to disconnect with error 019. Added weapons to the Shiro and Jade armor miniatures. That's important. That's good. The next thing is that there are also a bunch of skill balancing changes. It looks like they're mostly updates to the assassin and ritualist skills, and only a couple of changes for each of the other classes, which, really, that's not very surprising. But the monk ones, they added healing benefits to both Vigorous Spirit and Duena's Kiss, which are skills that are almost always on my bar. With Vigorous Spirit, they increase the heal per skill or attack to 5 to 20, and on Duena's Kiss, the conditional heal has been increased to 10 to 35 health. So yeah, these two skills are a couple of my staples, so these changes make me happy. I've kind of discussed a jumble of different things here this week, but for this skills and build segment, I'm going to talk to you about a few of my favorite healing spells. Aragon X asked me this week which elite skill that I use when I heal, and I told him that I use Word of Healing. Word of Healing. Heal target other ally for 16 to 67 points. Heal for an additional 15 to 83 points if that ally is below 50% health. It costs 5 energy, has a 3/4 second cast time, and a 4 second recharge. You have to capture it since it's an elite skill, and you can get it from Dask Orosis in Dunes of Despair, Jasso Escher in Thirsty River. I think that one's probably the easiest one to get it from. Priest of Menzies in The Fissure of Woe. Whisper in Sassini in Ilona Reach. And Xinfon Life Force in Zakwang Skyway. I guess that's a faction's location. Duena's Kiss. Heal target other ally for 15 to 51 points and an additional 10 to 35. For each enchantment or hex on that ally. 5 energy cost, 1 second cast time, and a 3 second recharge. You can get it from the skill quest Graven Images in North Crater Province, and you can buy it from Sorum in Quarrel Falls, Master Scout Kira in Hengen and Ravi, and of course Dak in Ember Lightcamp. Orison of Healing. Heal target ally for 20 to 60 points. It costs 5 energy, has a 1 second cast time, and a 2 second recharge. You can get it from the quest A Monk's Mission in Ashford Abbey, which is one of the pre-searing quests, another quest called Sowing Seeds in Old Ascalon, and in factions you can get it from Manted Hatchlings in the Monastery Overlook. You can buy it from Sir Bertrand in Ascalon City or Dak. I like these spells because they're simple. They're instant heals, and they only cost 5 energy. Some people like Heal Other, but if I'm going to spend 10 energy, I'd rather spend it using Healing Breeze or Healing Seed or something like that instead. One of the pluses of having instant heals is against creatures like the Oni. They cast something that prevents you from using enchantments, so you want to be carrying instant heals for situations like that. I'm going to be holding a contest myself starting probably about a week from now, or maybe sometime this week. It's going to be a Name That Place contest, but it's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to post the screenshots on the Guildcast message boards, and then I'm going to lock the topic. The contest will remain open for a set amount of time. Probably I'll leave it open for like 10 days. If you want to enter the contest, instead of replying on the board in that thread, like the way that we have been doing it, what I'll want you to do is email your answers to me instead. Then what I'll do is I'll take the most accurate answers and select two winners, a first and a second place winner, and I'll be picking them randomly. I'm going to do it this way so that you don't have to be just the first one to see the post. It'll give everyone an opportunity to be able to check it out and enter the contest if they want. Plus, no one will be able to just copy the Shadowed Blade's answers and automatically be guaranteed to get second place, because, come on, you know his answers are always right, and you've got to admit, copying him is just plain cheating. On the PC Gamer podcast, they always end the show by talking about what games they've been playing. Me, I've been playing a battle on the Guildcast forums, which you can find at guildcast.com/forum. On the forums, you can also get more information and register for the scrimmage competitions that Sean is putting together. And, what other games have I been playing? Let's see. I've been playing Guild Wars, and, some of Guild Wars factions. And, that's about it. Yeah. So that about wraps it up for this episode. If you want to contact us, Sean is shawn at guildcast.com, and I'm ladysinaea at gmail.com. We like the voicemails too, so drop us a Skype message if you like, and the username there is guildcast. It's been a pleasure talking to you this week. I'm Lady Sinea.
And as always,
tell your friends
and tell your guildmates
about guildcast.com.
Now, I told Lady Sinea that I was taking a much-needed break this week, right? But I just couldn't go 1 week without at least contributing something, so just don't tell her, okay? Now, I'm not going to steal away Lady Sinea's episode here. This is hers. But after I listened to what she just recorded with the voice mixing and all, I thought it was actually pretty ironic because I've been working on my own mixing this week that I had planned on adding to this episode anyway. So, I leave you with Alexander Polyakov's Imagine, the Lady Sinea remix.
Oh god, don't start. Oh god, don't start. Oh god, don't start. Oh god, don't start. When I play this game, it's for blood.
I'm starting to rub off on Loudon, though.
I really appreciate Lady Sinea.
And if you have a female character, you can dance for someone. Dance for someone. Welcome back to Guildcast, everyone. I'm your host, Sean, and with me here is Lady Sinea.
Hello, ladies.
Wanna talk to me? Oh my god, are you a real girl? So I take it that you're actually a girl. And if you have a female character, you can dance for someone. Dance for someone. Dance for someone. And if you have a female character, you can dance for someone. Dance for someone. Dance for someone. And get 100 gold.
I will pay for lap dances.
Say hi, Lady Sinea.
The last week's show sucked because I was all drunk or hungover or something.
Aw, I'm a better player drunk than you are sober. So, neater.
the last week's show sucked because I was all drunk or hungover or something. Wanna talk to me? Wanna talk to me? Hello, ladies! Aw, I'm a better player drunk than you are sober. It's been exciting.